Well, good morning, or afternoon, or evening, or whatever it is that you happen to tune in here. And we appreciate you tuning in. And I hope, Fish and Frank here, by the way, and I hope you're enjoying some of the new shows that we've got up on fishandfranks.com. And soon to be heard on radio stations near you. The girls, they seem to be doing a pretty good job. Have you had a chance to listen to any of the shows, Robert?
No, I have not.
We've got God and Fishing, but that's going to be changed to Gospel and Fishing because he's a gospel minister and I'm fishing, so doing that one. And Robert's got a new show coming up with Captain Carl here pretty quick, all about redfish all over the South. From North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, wherever there's redfish, they're going to be calling people and finding out what's going on, where your best bet is to go and chase redfish. And we've got a freshwater show coming up here real quick that should be getting started here in the next week or so. Little by little, we're getting them all off the ground, getting them going. I really kind of enjoyed the girls, when they did that, introducing Heather, introducing Dee, introducing Alex, introducing Jeannie. And I actually stole a little bit of that to do the first show with Donnie, our gospel guy.
Nice.
He had some good ideas. And that's kind of what I wanted, was a few shows that, like with you and Carl, that I'm not in, so it's not another Fish and Frank thing. You know, you guys kind of do your own thing, go your own way. And the girls are doing a real nice job of that. So, if you haven't listened to any of those, give them a shot. Different perspectives, different stuff, and that's kind of what I'm going for, is trying to get out of as many of the shows as I can to give you more of a viewpoint, like Barry's Tarpon World. I sat in on him, get him going, teach him how to run the equipment and everything, and then kind of back off and say, okay, let's see where you go.
Yeah, I did one with him the other day that was kind of fun.
Barry's got a nice show going there.
Yeah.
So, it's just kind of interesting to get all the different viewpoints and perspectives. Now I'm doing my paperwork. I sit and listen to the shows and see how they're all going.
Perfect. That's pretty good stuff. I got actually a note written on my table where I do the weekly article, because that's where I start writing all my notes and stuff. So I actually got that written in big letters to listen to the interviews with the girls.
So yeah, that one, the interview shows were something I would have never picked or never done. I don't know why, it's just nothing I would ever do. But it really was an awesome idea. It kind of gave you an insight into the girls and who they are and what they're about. So I was kind of cool with that.
I've been talking about that for years. Some of those stuff interests me, you know. It's like some of the history of some of the people have fished here forever. You know, we talked about it with Wayne Quick, and some of those people have just been around forever. They've seen a lot of neat stuff.
Maybe that's what we got to get you to do, is, you know, Who's Who historical perspective show. So
that might be fun.
Yeah, that would be a good one for you. You're kind of all into that.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, enough time with this and into what people want to hear about. Where the fish are and where the fish are biting and all that kind of stuff. And okay. If you have any comments or whatever, the one thing we are doing is putting up some of the earliest shows that you won't be able to hear anywhere but on fishandfranks.com. It's to allow you to see the progression of, these people have never done this before. They're all newbies into the broadcasting. And like with the girls, hearing their first show, Barry's first show, the first ones I did with Donnie, to give you a perspective and see how people grow and develop into who they are and where they're going to be and what they're going to do. And I just think that's interesting. And yeah, some of the first shows kind of suck a little bit, but you know, it gives you, it allows you to grow with them, and you know, you're along for the journey, along for the ride. And that's what we like to do here at Fish and Frank's, is we start off with one little thing and one thing, and you get that, and then you go on to the next thing and the next thing. We've been doing that with our customers for years. It's all about, we tell people, if you come in, you buy a whole bunch of stuff all at once, you might as well throw 80-90% of it in the garbage, because you're never going to figure that out. If you do a little bit, get good with that, then come back, we'll help you with the next step, and then the next step. And over time, everything works, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
If you try and dump a whole bunch of stuff, it just doesn't work. And it's the same thing doing the radio shows.
Yeah.
You know, you start off with, okay, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm scared to, oh, I like this, and I'm doing this, and you get to watch the evolution. I always think that's one of the cool things.
Yeah.
You know.
No doubt about it.
All right. And, you know, I guess for me it's a little more personal because I'm the one picking all these people. And
you're the teacher and helping mold them?
I don't know about that, but I'm, you know,
it's you are.
My crazy ideas. So,
yeah.
Let's see. Peace River, what's going on?
Honestly, the only good reports I have gotten at all have been around the Shell Creek area. From the trestle up to the dam, a lot of small snook, some juvenile tarpon, a couple of redfish, and a couple of black drum. The black drum I heard about up there were actually pretty sizable, like 30 pounders.
No, what in black drum?
The redfish, a couple of redfish too. But the black drum surprised me because I very rarely get a black drum report up there above the trestle.
It's a year for surprises, you know. But I was listening to one of the fishing reports today, and you know how we said, okay, yeah, around August we're going to start seeing a lot of redfish, and I'm starting to hear more and more about redfish.
Right.
You know, and it's funny, why can't people remember more than two Facebook posts ago? I don't get it. They post something on Facebook, and then it's like it didn't happen the next day. It's, oh my God, the world's ending, and this and that. I was watching one of these shows because I like, you know, signs of the apocalypse and world-ending shows. I like watching some of that stuff. And it was all just a bunch of liberal goofball, the sea's coming up, we're all going to drown. And, you know, I'm like, are you kidding me? And I don't get why you... What is so hard if everybody's saying the sea level's coming up so much and that this town is going underwater? Not that the town's just like Miami. It's slowly sinking on the limestone. It's going down a little bit each year. The sea level hasn't really come up. It's been, I think it's come up an inch and a half in the last 100 years. And they say, oh, but it's going to come up a lot more soon. Yeah, okay, soon.
Yeah. Whose lifetime?
Yeah, your lifetime, my lifetime. The, you know, we're gonna destroy the earth. No, you're not. It's a big frickin' rock.
Right.
The earth will be here. You know, you might destroy human life on this rock, but you're not destroying the earth. You know, you destroy your life, okay. But you know, as far as I'm concerned, you could leave me and most of my listeners out of your weird rant. My rants are weird enough. I don't need yours. All right. Darst, I-75.
Definitely black drum have been there pretty good, and then there's been a lot of juvenile tarpon there, and even with a couple in the 60-70 pound range, mostly in the early mornings and the evenings, especially right after those thunderstorms come through and it gets slick calm out there. A lot of guys are hooking into some small juvenile tarpon, and then a handful of snook and a few redfish on the northbound side closer to the sawgrass and that area. It's always a pretty good little spot. The tides have been real wonky because of the full moon, so it's getting in there sometimes a little tricky because there's been some pretty seriously low tides up there.
Yeah, I think there's been quite a bit of wind driven tide effects.
Yeah,
you know, people forget how big a deal the wind is on the tide, but if you have a 10 mile an hour wind blowing on the northeast, you know, over the course of a day, it'll drop 6 inches of water out.
Absolutely.
Vice versa is if it's a 10 mile an hour wind out of the southwest, it will raise the water level in Charlotte Harbor up 6 inches.
Yeah.
The longer it's sustained in one direction and not gusting up and down, the more it's just kind of a sustained wind, the more effect it has on the water levels. Because we get all our water in through passes. We're not just sitting on the open Gulf. We've got Boca and Gasparilla and, you know, Captiva, Redfish, all these passes are so small, the wind can actually blow the water in or out and make it harder for, like, say, if it's blowing the water in, it makes it hard for the water to get out.
Right.
So not as much comes out, but then even more comes in, and not as much comes out, stacking effect like at a hurricane. But same thing goes through with the low tides, especially in the winter.
Yeah,
the water just really keeps blowing it out and out and out. Whereas on the Gulf of Mexico, if you were on the beach, you wouldn't see that much of a difference in the tide.
Right.
But up in a closed harbor system, that's where you see the big giant tide effects, see, from the wind tide effect, I guess.
Right.
41 Bridge?
41 Bridge have been doing pretty decent during the day. They finally opened up that north end of Power Pole Park. Most of it all is open. They've been getting a couple of small redfish, some snook, been some black drum. I've heard of a couple trout, a couple of small Spanish mackerel. And then there's been some tarpon there in the evenings and at night. A lot of little juvenile guys throughout the whole bridge system. And then some bigger black drum are still hanging around all the big pilings along the whole bridge. So it's been pretty decent there.
All right. What about Lashley Pier?
Lashley Pier's been a little quiet this week. I've had a couple reports of some mangrove snapper, a couple small snook, and a couple of black drum. But it's been a little quieter than it has been the last several weeks. I know that it's been pretty hot, so I think that's a little bit of a roll in that spot.
Oh, yeah. This time of year, you're always shocked when people catch fish at Lashley. Bayshore?
Yeah. Bayshore, a couple small bull sharks, some ladyfish, and that's about it that I've heard of. But it's all been little bull sharks, mostly.
Okay. Port Charlotte Canals?
Oh, let's see. Still some jacks and some big black drum cruising through them. Every canal seems to have some juvenile tarpon rolling through and a handful of small snook. The snapper bite's been really quiet depending on who you talk to throughout all those canals. And then I'm starting to get a few more reports of the sand bream. They've been starting to pick up on those a little bit more, which is kind of normal when we start to get these heavy rains. It pushes them down. They like that real fresh mixture of fresh salt mix.
Now, what fish is that?
Sand bream.
Oh, yeah, the sand bream.
Yeah.
My favorite eating fish.
It is.
I think we've... that'd be a good one for Luigi's this month.
Yeah.
We'll have to do sand bream.
There you go.
Well, we'll do sand bream and something else, because it's not enough to make a night out of, but we can actually go over some of the sand bream.
I think we could honestly do like sand bream and Mayan cichlids mixed together, because they're going to be found in a lot of those same locations.
Yeah, we could do that, because they do like the same habitat, that kind of light salt.
Yeah, yeah, might make for an interesting one.
And we'll figure out a more major fish to do with it, see what's popular. But at Luigi's, I want to get people into the fact, like last month we did spade fish. Each month I want to do something that's not snook, redfish, or trout.
Right.
You know, even if we do a little bit of redfish or snook, but I want to do something...
Doesn't have to be the primary focus.
Yeah, something that's not on the radar as much. You know, an off-brand, let's say, you know, an aftermarket product. I want, you know, to let people know there's more things to do here than they ever could realize.
Oh, yeah.
More different types of fish to catch. It's really, and a lot of them are very good eating, because we hear this stuff a lot. Well, there's no fish out there you can eat. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
With 20 to 30 different species of fish here in Charlotte Harbor, some of them... we have some of the largest variety of catchable, edible fish I've ever heard of.
Absolutely.
Anywhere in the world. You go down the Keys, they don't have the variety we have.
It just doesn't have that prestige to it, so they overlook it. Almost spoiled.
No, I don't think spoiled, but I think you know, it's like people think of Coke or Pepsi, but they forgot there's RC.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, we get the two major brands and nothing else matters. You get snook, redfish, and trout, but there's nothing else after that.
Right.
I think it's all about advertising and publicity, you know.
I can see that.
I think it's just a matter of nobody talks about it. So that'll be our job to bring that information out to the people.
Not a bad idea.
Eljo Bean.
Eljo Bean's been doing pretty decent. This last full moon, some guys have been fishing out there at night, and they've been catching some nice snook, a couple juvenile tarpon, and then they also got into some pretty decent mangrove snapper. The guys that were catching those bigger mangrove snapper were using the frozen silver sides and the frozen white bait that we have. And then during the daytime, they've been getting a lot of juvenile tarpon and even some adult tarpon at the bridge itself in the early mornings, along with a few pretty good-sized jacks, like 6-8 pounds. Other than that, it's been a little quiet on the other species. But overall, pretty good activity.
All right, Myakka River area, anything in the Myakka River spaces or places or things that you can do?
There's been tarpon moving in and out of there from the bridge all the way down towards the open harbor. And then the snook have been doing pretty decent over there at the north end of the Myakka cutoff and then just south of Cattle Dock Point. And then there's also been a handful of pompano being seen down there south of Cattle Dock Point, guys that are trying to sneak in behind the bar on the west side, hidden towards, what is that, Trout Creek? They're kind of trying to sneak into that area and been skipping a few pompano there. I know it's kind of the northern tip of the west wall, but it's right there at that mouth breaking point, so worth taking a look.
Yeah, but Trout Creek is the top of the west wall, so...
Right.
You know, South Gulf Cove?
Nothing.
That's one of those places where it's still very seasonal.
Yeah.
Port Charlotte is not really seasonal anymore. I mean,
no.
We get 15-20% increase during season, but it's not like when I first came here, there was 30,000 people in the county altogether, and then 70,000 in season.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a big bunch of extra jump. People, you know, you had more than the actual existing population would come down for the winter. But nowadays it's probably, I would say, 15-20% more in season than out of season.
Yeah.
But July and August are the slowest fishing months down here for as far as our business and everything else, because it can get real hot. Even the locals don't want to go out. They go out a little bit in the morning and stuff, mm-hmm. but they're too smart to be out there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
You know, they live here. They're like, no, I park under trees and I'm not outside between 2 and 5.
Right. Afternoon thunderstorms play a big role in it.
Yeah, but and also people go on vacation, because this is the time of year when everything north of I-4 is popping.
Right.
South of we're from I-4 south, we're all about November through the 4th of July. From I-4 north, it's Memorial Day to Labor Day, or Labor Day to Memorial Day, whatever it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're exactly opposite than the rest of the country. West Wall and the creeks?
The West Wall's got a lot of snook on the southern part of it. There's been some pretty, I would say, decent red fishing going on along the bushes. Main thing is use cut bait or use any soft plastic that can sit and work real slow. And then there's also been some pompano on the top of the bar on the west wall with a handful of cobia. And then there also has been a few juvenile tarpon being seen in the trough between the main flat and the mangroves themselves. And those have been mostly being seen in the either first light or late in the evening. You know, I'm sure they're there all day long, but I think the boat traffic makes them get a little bit more leery.
I don't think they'd be there all day. I think it's just too much direct sunlight in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, you know, morning and evening makes more sense, because go out and hang out somewhere, because that is, it's just not going to be comfortable there during the day. It's going to be too bright, too sunny, too hot.
Yeah. That very well could be.
A couple of days ago, we had all that overcast weather, and I think that's where your reports were coming from.
Yeah, that's true.
We had such a wonderful overcast all day. Those fish were out everywhere all day because there was no direct heat, sunlight, UV rays, you know.
The days that I like the most.
Yeah, I wonder, fish can't get sunburned, can they?
I don't know. I know that sometimes, like, when fish move up onto the flats and stay on the flats, like down in the Keys and the Bahamas, they actually do get a little bit of a pigment kind of suntan. You know, like, sharks are known for changing their colors just a little bit more. I'll have to check in on that. That's kind of actually an interesting question.
You know, here's the weird part about it. We get a suntan, right? So our skin turns brown, you know. We're a couple white boys.
Mm-hmm. First it turns red, then it'll turn brown. At least in my case.
Why wouldn't it be that your skin's browner and then turns light as you get in the sun? Because the sun usually bleaches stuff out, and dark colors absorb more sunlight than light colors.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
No. No, I don't know the answer to that one.
Never thought about it till just now, but it really should be the more you're out in the sun, the lighter your skin gets.
You would think, yeah.
But it's not. It's the more you're out in the sun, the darker your skin gets.
It's got to be a protection against something.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't make any sense if you think about everything else you know about sunlight. Dark colors, light colors. Dark colors absorb more solar radiation than light colors do. It bounces off more.
Right. No, I mean, what you're saying absolutely makes sense. There's got to be something for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. As I get older, I get more and more random thoughts. You know, I mean, it's like my brain is, it's not fully engaging in second or third gear, and it's kind of, the clutch is slipping a little bit, so it just spins off in these things, and I'm like, I wonder what, now wait a minute, light colors reflect more sunlight than dark colors, so why don't we get lighter when we get in the sun?
I don't know.
I mean, you would think we'd turn, like, opaque white.
Right. Nice Irish skin.
You know. Alright, K-Pays, Muddy Bay.
Cape Hayes has got a few pompano on it, been a couple of small trout, a handful of Spanish mackerel, and then up along the bushes there's been a few snook. Those snook haven't been as thick the last several days, and I think the full moon had something to do with that. There's also been a couple of occasional sharks cruising on top of the bar, and out more towards marker 5, they've been getting a few black tips. A couple of lemons have started to show up, along with a couple of nurse sharks. And then, you know, those guys are running in that 4 to 6 foot range, versus the black tips are more on that smaller 2 foot range.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool. We haven't talked about marker 5 in years.
No, it's been a while.
Yeah, used to be we always talked about it because you had Spanish mackerel, and you had this, and you had that, and it was all going around there by marker 5. And I think because of the big boat traffic, people with big boats can be kind of stupid.
Yeah, they want to hug as close to that marker as possible.
It's like, I mean, it's no wonder the markers all get knocked down. I mean, if they're not within 8 feet or 5 feet of the marker, it's like watching them drive on I-75. If they're not like 6 feet off of somebody's bumper doing 80 miles an hour, they think they're losing time or something.
Yeah.
And I see this guy with his family in the car, 80 miles an hour, 5 to 10 feet off somebody's bumper, going along just happy as can be. Now, maybe his family really sucks. Maybe there's a reason he's doing that. Maybe these are just horrible people he has in the car, and he doesn't like them at all.
Right.
But you would almost have to think somebody would like their family, you know, and want them to be around a while, and would just back off a little bit.
You would think.
You know, I don't get that. I mean, if your family's, if you don't like your family that much, there's got to be other ways besides suicide by bumper, you know?
Right.
Anyway, Bull and Turtle Bay.
Bull and Turtle Bay have got quite a bit of snook in them, handful of redfish. There has been some mixed reports of snapper, and the ladyfish have moved in pretty decent out there on those flats. And what else they've been getting in there?
Now that's kind of a weird statement, because you said the snapper and the ladyfish moving on to the flats. And
I don't know if it's because they're moving or what, but guys are literally casting into some of those deeper sand holes and then that big trench that runs through the center of Bull Bay, and they're talking about catching mangrove snapper, ladyfish. Pinfish are destroying their little baits along with the little snapper and even some bigger snappers. So I don't know if they're in a transition mode right through there, but I had like 3 different guys tell me about the snapper they caught while drifting through there.
Yeah, this is,
it doesn't make any sense, because I mean, if we go to your
transition stuff where you're talking about, okay, they did the big spawn or they're spawning, so they're going to go to these places when they spawn. They were up around Lashley Pier, then 41, and around Ponce, and we were hearing all these stories of all these big snappers, and now we're hearing much bigger snapper down by Cape Hayes, and they're on the flats, and fish don't spawn like on a weekend. It literally goes over the course of a few months.
Right.
And a lot of fish spawn more than once.
Right.
You know, it's like the guy with the gold chains on his neck. You know, so at least a half a time. So, all right, Cape Hayes and Danger Reef. I guess there's a difference between wishing and doing.
Oh, man, that's funny. Let's see, Cape Hayes and Danger Reef, they've been getting a lot of Spanish mackerel all over around that whole area. A couple guys had some tough days yesterday out there trying to get them to eat, and Josh was one of them. Seeing a lot of them, they're chasing baits and everything else, but getting them to hook up yesterday was pretty tricky from Josh and one other gentleman. It was kind of funny. They've also been getting some smaller mangrove snapper on those reefs. A couple of cobia have been sighted but not hooked. And then there's also been a handful of sharks. You know, the same thing, the black nose, a couple of lemons, a couple of nurse sharks. I heard of one decent sized bull that came by the boat. It was, I think I guessed them, 6 to 8 feet long. He was actually in the school of bait fish chasing some of those mackerel around.
Yeah, well, it's that time of year. There's shark fishing for, we lost numbers of a lot of the larger sharks when the major spawns down in Boca Raton Pass. We just don't keep that many huge sharks around. They're going to go other where, following other tarpon as they're coming and going and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the shark fishing is still awesome out there right now.
Absolutely.
Especially on really light tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you want to do something cool, take your rod and put some 4-pound test mono on it. Not 6-pound braid, 4-pound mono.
Right.
And go out and do a little shark fishing for some of these smaller sharks. Just remember, pinch the barbs down. You know, you don't want the fish to be stuck with the hook if you happen to break off. If
right.
you flatten the barb, it can fall out. Gasparilla Sound, tailing flats inside Boca Raton.
That whole area and the whole tailing flats, Whidden Bay, Catfish Creek area. There's been some redfish scattered along the shoreline, along with quite a few snook. Out on the open flats, they've been getting a few small trout, a few Spanish mackerel, lots of ladyfish, and there's even been some sub-adult tarpon moving through there, coming across the clam lease and working their way up, mostly towards right around the immediate vicinity of sandfly in like that 4 to 6 feet of water range. I've heard of a few sharks being spotted through there. Not really anybody fishes back there for them, but it's always a pretty decent area to give a try, especially, you know, same thing up around sandfly and move out about 4 to 6 feet of water. You'd be surprised with some of the sharks that move into there.
It's really funny. You're sitting there in 2-3 feet of water and you're catching some trout or snook or something, and all of a sudden an 8-foot bull shark bumps the bottom of the boat.
Yeah.
Watching people look over and go, oh, because you got that crystal clear water and it's just literally right there, just the tip of his fin. He's too big to actually be entirely underwater.
Yeah,
it's fun watching their faces.
I think one of the biggest lemons I ever saw was actually straight across there on the backside of Boca Grande, and we were just drifting that flat doing the same thing, looking for trout and everything else, and all of a sudden look up. I mean, we weren't in more than 3 feet of water, but it was a solid 9 to 10 foot lemon, and it was just drifting along kind of like the way we were, and it got within about 5 feet of the boat, realized the boat was there, panicked, and just left a footprint the size of the boat and beat feet the other way. But just to see it just
when they get
gliding
freaked
along
out.
Just real lethargic, and it's like, what is that, is that a manatee? Oh geez, look at the size of that, that's a lemon shark.
That's yeah. a shark.
It was pretty impressive to see that. That was a long time ago. That was 20 years ago. That was Blake, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of neat to hear the octave change in people's voice.
Yeah.
At 4 foot, it's a shark. At 6 foot, it's a shark. At 8 foot, it's a shark!
Yeah.
The voice goes up and up and up.
Yeah. Pretty impressive, pretty funny.
Yeah, you can always tell how big this shark is by how high the voice gets.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Okay, Placida, Trestle, Pure, Gasparilla Pass.
Some mangrove snapper being caught off there. Quite a few pompano. And I'm getting a whole lot of reports of snook being caught from their boats. Fishing the old broken down railroad trestle and around the bridges there going onto Boca. And then I've had a couple of reports of some gags. One that was actually legal, a guy caught a 25 and a half inch gag while snook fishing there. A few Spanish mackerel. And then there has been some tarpon rolling through there going through.
Is gag legal to keep right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And some tarpon?
Yeah, some tarpon. Most of the tarpon have been by the second and third bridge heading out towards Gasparilla Pass. But they've been there pretty regularly in the mornings and the evenings.
Okay, Lemon Bay?
I've got nothing up there. It's been a weird week with Lemon Bay. The last 2 weeks have been very scattered reports, period.
Anger Pier?
Anger Pier, a lot of snook, a lot of juvenile tarpon at night, handful of small sharks being caught during the day and at night there. A few ladyfish and a couple of Spanish mackerel also being caught off of there. Hasn't been gangbusters, but it's still been pretty consistent anyway. You know, you're right there next to the bridge and all that good moving water.
How about Venice?
Venice, lots of snook. That's the only thing I've heard of is guys snook fishing in the evenings through the dark and into the first hour or two in the morning, and it's all been snook.
Okay, Gulf of Mexico?
That's actually had some good reports. I'm waiting to hear a whole lot of reports this weekend. We got crushed again on chum. It's like,
really?
Man, oh. When I put in the order, we needed one case of box chum. That's all we needed to fill it up borderline where I might have had to stash some.
Mm-hmm.
I think all the blue chum's down to like one or two. That's it.
So they liking the stuff with the licorice in it.
Yeah, the boxes with the licorice in it, they're just, I mean, I think because I just went in there and checked it a little bit ago, there's only like one or two boxes left.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising because we carry this double ground tournament chum in a box, which to me is one of probably the best chum I've ever used. I personally most often take the stuff that's already in a bag so I don't have to mess with it. I can just tie it off, hang it off the boat, and it's done. I don't have to worry about it. But if I'm really, really want to catch fish, I get the separate chum bag or make a container and put that green stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually outsells the stuff with the anise oil in it. Now, the anise oil is like anisetic cookies. It's kind of what gives it the licorice scent. And it smells like licorice. It's a real sweet smell.
Mm-hmm.
But usually the normal chum outsells that 4-5 to 1.
Easily.
And now you're telling me the licorice is gone.
It's, yeah. Yeah, it's crushed.
And it's got to be for the snapper fishing because we've had a ton of people going out at night.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things where one guy tells the other one, yeah, well, you know, get the stuff with the blue label that has the licorice smell on it. Just smell the box.
Yeah, there's something sneaky going on with it because it's just surprising how much
looks like
plastic.
How many years did I carry Silversides?
Oh, my gosh,
and
forever.
Nobody, I mean, we would sell one or two cases a year. And yeah, we sell more than that a week now.
Yeah, the first 2 years, some of them was getting dehydrated and sit in there so long.
Yeah, I actually ended up having to throw some of it out because it was just in the freezer too long.
Yeah.
And then one guy started catching fish with it who mentioned it to another guy and saying, don't tell anybody, but this is really good. Who told his buddy not to tell anybody, but this is really good. And next thing you know, it's a phenomenon on shore fishing now. And maybe the liquor stuff, because like when I take your family out fishing, I put one of the regular out, and then I put literally both of them out, the licorice and the regular, and I am both going. I cover all my bets, and you know, when I have to go and catch something, I throw everything at them.
I'm with you 100% on that one.
All right, so what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico?
Let's see, at about 15 to 25 miles, they begin some yellowtail snapper. The mangrove snapper and a few lanes. The lanes have actually gotten a little quiet this past week. The ones that guys have been talking about said that they're much smaller than what they had been catching. So I'm not sure if they moved out to deeper water, you know, because the full moon in June or July and August, the snapper spawn, so they get in at tight groups. So they could have just moved on a little bit. But I've also been getting some reports of some cobia. With some pretty good consistency, and permit at all of the nearshore reefs from 3 to 20 miles out. And then if you're willing to run out there to that 30 to 40 mile mark, still getting some good reports of some big mangrove snapper, some decent sized yellowtail. But I've had several reports of dolphin like in the 24 to 28 inch range being hooked up out there too while the guys are anchored up or drifting. So there's been some, it's pretty impressive to hear those bigger dolphin. Usually it's always those, what, 12 to 15 inchers that we hear about. If you hear of an 18 inch, you're like, oh wow, that's pretty impressive. Been hearing some good ones in the 2 foot plus range, so it's kind of nice. There is still some Spanish mackerel out there at the nearshore reefs. A couple schools of bonita have been being mentioned. One guy talked about hooking a blackfin tuna and watching it get eaten by a shark while he was out there at 22 miles or something like that. He was a little upset by that. It was his first blackfin tuna, and all he got back was a head and the pectoral fins. He thought it was a bonita, so he's just playing with it more than anything else. So it got up close enough, and he said that shark came up and just destroyed it. I'm like, ooh, that's a bummer. And he caught that with a sardine going down to the bottom to grouper fish. That was the funny part.
No, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's always interesting. I mean, every year you have those one oddball stories of a guy hooking a sailfish while grouper fishing or something else, but that's the first one I've heard of a tuna being hooked on the drop here personally. So, kind of cool.
All right, Boca Raton Pass.
A lot of tarpon in it. There's quite a few tarpon moved into it in the last 2 days. Spanish mackerel are moving through there, a few small sharks, and then on the bottom there has been some decent mangrove snappers. Other than that, it's been a little on the quiet side for any of the other species. I didn't hear of any snook this week out there or anything like that. And I'm sure they're there, I just no reports on them, so it's not worth it. I need to go out there and see what that dredging is looking like. I haven't been out there since they started all that.
Yeah, they were just in time to have the hurricane go by.
Right. Be kind of curious to see what it looks like.
All right, Captiva Pass.
A few tarpon, a few Spanish mackerel, and some mangrove snapper. I've heard of a couple of bigger sharks just on the inside of Captiva Pass on those flats on both the north and south side of the channel. One guy caught a small gag grouper that was 20 inches while drifting through looking for the mangrove snapper. And then he saw some fish blitzing on the surface pretty regularly, but they weren't ladyfish and they weren't Spanish mac, so he never really did figure it out because he couldn't get any of them to hit. But he said they'd just pop up, disappear, pop back up, and disappear. So I'm not really sure what he was seeing.
Well, the problem is it could be ladyfish, it could be jacks, it could be bluefish, it could be Spanish mackerel, it could be mullet, could be... We're lucky, it could be a lot of things.
Right.
Anything in redfish?
Nothing.
All right. 17th Street?
And nothing. Nothing out there at all.
Middle Beach?
Middle Beach has got a lot of snook on it. Guys have been catching some pretty nice snook. I heard of one guy shark fishing, but he didn't catch anything.
Alright, how about Sanibel?
Sanibel's been doing real good. The snook have been all around the causeway, both for the guys fishing under it from shore and from boats, and then there's a lot of tarpon there at night. They've been doing pretty decent there the last several days at nighttime there. And then the guys have also been catching a few Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, and jacks standing on the underneath the causeway itself and the beach right there next to it. I haven't been down there, geez. I can't remember the last time I was on Sanibel, to be honest.
All right, anything on the Coosatchee?
Nothing.
Cape Coral?
Nothing.
Matt Lachey?
That I've got one report, that's it. Guy was catching some snook and some mangrove snapper. He saw a couple juvenile tarpon roll underneath his feet there standing on the bridge, but that's it. Been a little quiet down there this week. And D's been too busy recording and hanging out with the girls to give me a good fishing report.
They are so funny.
Oh my gosh, they're hilarious.
I gotta tell you, you know, I don't know where the ideas come from, quite honestly. You know, I just get random thoughts in my head. It's like I say, I think my brain is kind of slipping out of gear lately. It's not like hard in fourth gear or second. It's just kind of slipping. But to take four women who didn't know each other and say, okay, I would like you guys to all do a radio show, and it's four women who don't know anything about the other three that are in the group and have never actually spoken to a microphone or done anything even remotely close to this ever before.
I mean, if you describe that to anybody, it sounds like a recipe for a disaster. I mean, if just saying it like that, it doesn't sound like it would work.
Yeah, I mean, I just...
You've never done any of this, but we're going to make you do it. It's like,
I just told him, I said, I think, you know, you want to have some fun, let's do a show. And but with a commercial fisherman, somebody's brand new to Florida, a redneck girl with her own pickup and boat, and, you know, somebody buys and sells tackle for the store. I mean, it's... Once they kind of, as they're opening up, I mean, you're getting this amazing array of different stuff and different opinions, and so I'm pretty impressed. All right.
Absolutely.
Pine Island Sound, and I think the most impressive thing is how much fun they're having and how much they enjoy each other.
Yes.
So, really good. Pine Island Sound.
It's like the dating game.
I don't think so, but I don't get that one at all, but... Yeah,
just matching people up, it just worked out really good.
Oh, okay. And for as far as, okay, I'm picking you to be with you and you and
yeah.
you. Okay,
I mean,
yeah.
The match just worked out really well. Not the other way you're
I was sitting there going, no, I don't think so.
Good match, bad match. It was a good match.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. Never mind. All right, Pine Island Sound.
A lot of tarpon cruising along the bars. A handful of sharks, some Spanish mackerel, and then they've been catching some pretty big snook along the mangroves down there. They're seeing a lot more than they are catching, but they have been catching quite a few. Danny was telling me the other day about all the big snook that he's been seeing drifting along the shorelines and hooking a couple. So it's not too bad down there.
Somebody's sponsoring him, and so I had to agree to have a meeting with him, one of the factories.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only, you know... Okay, yeah, he's giving you stuff, but you want me to spend thousands of dollars on this crap.
Yeah, nice.
You know, it's not like they're coming over here to sponsor me or offer me anything great. That is, you know, I don't...
Doesn't make sense. It's, you know, so backwards, the fishing industry.
So, it's wonderful these guys get all their goodies and everything else, but why do I have to pay for it?
Yeah, where's your incentive?
You know, all right, Jug Creek, Boquilla.
Boquilla, I've got some reports. There's been the Spanish mackerel out there on those two big sand patches, sandbars, whatever you want to call them. There have been a few mixed in little tiny bluefish with them, some schools of jacks, and a few sharks. And then up against the shoreline, there's been a couple guys been catching a couple of redfish and snook. And they say the water's been really surprisingly clear there for what they're kind of used to, you know, especially if you take into consideration last year with our heavy rainfall in previous years. So, not too bad.
All right, Burnt Store, two pines?
A lot of snook. There's been a couple wade fishermen down there and a lot of boats working that entire shoreline from Burnt Store all the way down to Two Pines. Up on top of the bar, you've got some ladyfish, a few occasional tarpon just on the outside of the bar, and there has been some pompano cruising through there, scattered, not concentrated, but there's, you know, if you're drifting that flat and covering some ground, you're going to catch a few. And guys are catching them on those little tiny what's the one from VMC?
Oh, the hot
hot skirt.
Yeah, hot skirts.
There you go, the hot skirts and the typical banana jig, both.
Yeah, that's hot skirts was just an amazing find.
Yeah, it is.
East side on Cormorant Key, Back Bay Key, Sneaky Creek, Skating Rink, Cobbs Point, Pirate Harbor.
Well, Pirate Harbor's got a lot of juvenile tarpon inside there. And then out along the flats there, they've been getting a, or seeing a few cobia cruising the bar, and then a handful of snook, and I've only heard of one redfish being caught over there along the shoreline. You know, the east side's been a little more quiet than usual this week.
Okay, Alligator Creek?
Black drum, mangrove snapper, some pretty decent sized snook. talking to, my brain just shut down, but the owner of First Charlotte Air, he lives on Alligator Creek, and he was showing me some pictures yesterday of some of the snook and mangrove snapper that he's been catching off of his dock. And he's been catching 12, 13, 14 inch mangrove snapper, but he had one snook that was 40, I'd say a 40 to 44 inch range. Pretty nice fish, but he's been catching some pretty good stuff there.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, Charlotte Air.
Yeah.
They've done work at my house and helped out here at the store. Really nice people, Charlotte Air. All right, Ponce de Leon.
Black drum, some jacks, your spade fish. A couple guys came in, said they actually caught a couple spade fish off of there playing with peeled shrimp. They were actually trying to catch them and actually hooked them. They couldn't catch any at the piling like you told them, but they did catch a couple. And then the occasional small snook coming through there. Haven't heard of any big snook.
It's funny, once you tell people there's a fish there and that you can go catch them and you give them a place to do it, but they might not be exactly there. They might be over a bit or up
right.
a bit. But
sure.
And then to have them go out and actually experience it. They catch the fish, they have, you know, I mean...
When they're successful at it and come back and say, hey, I did it. It wasn't great, but I did catch what I was actually trying to target, something completely different. That's cool to me.
It is awesome. I mean, it really is to be able to explain to people about a fish, give them a location area, and say, okay, this is what you do. And go out, give this a try, and have them come back. And they went there, they caught the fish, they had a good time. And isn't it an amazing fight? No, but is it something you didn't do every week? You know what I mean?
Right.
You get to experience something new and add another one to the bucket, you know? Okay, spade fish, check, boom, in the bucket,
yep.
You know? Not figuratively, not literally, actually.
Right.
PGI canals?
A lot of juvenile tarpon, a whole lot of black drum, and then I'm starting to get some better reports of jacks again. Mostly smaller though, like 4 to 6 pounds. They're not giants like the way they were. And then there's also been a couple guys catching a few mangrove snapper, but they've noticed a definite decrease in the size of them.
All right, Gilcrest Pier.
One little bull shark. That's all I got there. Unfortunately, that got a little quiet this week too.
Alligator Creek Reef,
Spanish mackerel, some mangrove snapper, a few spade fish. There has been some tarpon cruising across it. They're not staying on it very long, but they're hitting it throughout the whole day, so be ready for them. And then I've got a couple guys that have caught some small baby gag grouper and baby jewfish or goliath grouper off of it. Nothing legal size in the gag department, but to hear a couple reports of baby gags off it, it's still kind of cool.
Okay. The deep holes out in harbor?
Tarpon, sail cats, plenty of those. I went out with Richie on Monday. We caught several sail cats. Put one tarpon in the air. But lots of tarpon moved in the last 2 days out there.
Okay, freshwater fishing.
The bass have gotten a little quieter. The guys are still doing well on shiners and the live target. But other than that, the overall, it's kind of gotten just a little quieter now on the bass. Getting some reports on the Mayan cichlids, some tilapia, and a few bluegill, especially around some of those culver pipes where you got some decent moving water, or the spill dams doing the same thing. A lot of wigglers we've sold this week on guys going out there to try for the bluegill. And then I think the best thing I've been getting reports on is all the yellow cats, the bullheads, and a few channel catfish being caught out of a lot of the canals too. And same way with over at the Web Lakes, they've been getting a few nice channel catfish and some the yellow. They're technically a bullhead, but everyone around here locally seems to call them yellow cats or butter cats. And 2 to 3 pounders. I mean, nice size ones. I told you about mailman Steve, right?
Now, what's up?
He likes to fish for catfish and just catches them for fun. He doesn't like eating them. He just like catching them for fun. So he comes in here, occasionally buys night crawlers, occasionally buys the catfish bait. But one of his favorite baits is just hot dog, just a plain old hot dog.
Right.
He bought some of that, the bomb stuff, the dry chum.
Oh, yeah. The stuff you put on your bait.
Yeah, and he's been dipping his hot dogs in it. And he's increased his bites from every 10 to 20 minutes to about every 5 to 10 minutes.
Now, I'm going to have to tell, what's his name?
James,
about that. So,
yeah, I told him about it. I saw him the other day and mentioned it to him. I forgot to tell you about it, but he came in ranting. He's like, I just wanted to try it. I didn't know if it would work in the freshwater, but I had to give it a shot. And he's like, I tried it with that. I tried it with a night crawler, and it worked. He said, I went by about 25 to 50% less time in between my bites.
Wow, that's awesome.
Like, that's pretty impressive.
James makes a good product. So it's a dip. It's kind of like you put your bait in it and you shake it up, coat your bait, and then throw the bait out. So it kind of chums the bait itself.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool stuff. Works good on grouper, snapper, and all that kind of stuff. Now we know it works good on freshwater catfish.
Right.
All right. Tarpon map, red dots.
Red dots for the tarpon. We're gonna go Boca Grande, the beaches basically from Sanibel all the way up to Gasparilla passes as far north as I've heard good numbers.
Far north as to where?
Gasparilla Pass.
Oh, okay.
Never heard of anything consistent north of there. And then also the 20-foot holes, and up towards the 41 bridge, marker two, really.
Okay. How about in the Mayaca River?
A few, but nothing consistent.
So yellow dots there?
Yeah.
Give me a chance, a yellow dot, Mayaca. Any more red dots?
No.
Yellow dots?
The Mayaca, 41 bridge. Sanibel, and inside a Captiva Pass. Yeah, that's about it that I've
Matt
heard.
Lachey?
Nothing.
Possibles, white dots?
The possible white dots, I would say Matt Lachey would definitely be there in the possibilities. Gasparilla Bridges would be in the realm of possibilities because they've been there sporadically. And then up by the Eljo Bean Bridge.
All right, what about at Anger Pier Bridge there?
It's been night,
Tom Adams?
All nighttime. All
right, so night dots.
Night dots would be the Anger and Sanibel, and definitely the 41 Bridge.
Okay. Eljo Bean?
I haven't heard of anything there.
I-75?
Early morning.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do an early morning dot or not. I don't think so.
Nah.
All right. And let's see. 7:19. All right. Any thoughts that you have?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the way the weather's been, you know, get out there early in the morning, really watch the skies. I mean, watching your radar on your phone is okay, but this time of year, those thunderheads build super quickly, and sometimes the radar is a little lagging, and 5 minutes can make a huge difference between getting back to shore safely or not. And it goes from glass calm to 3-foot washing machine so quickly out there. Try to just pay attention. You know, a lot of people have been asking about the lightning because we've had some pretty good lightning storms the last several days. And, you know, we talked a little bit about it this morning, and it's just, lightning is definitely needs to be respected and all that.
You can tell who's not from Florida. We had a guy move in next to us. Somebody bought the house next to us. And this fellow's out there, and he's got somebody, you know, somebody who came with him out there mowing the lawn, doing the weed whacking and all that, while a thunderstorm's approaching with lightning cracking all around.
Right.
You're like, you know this person is not from Florida, because nobody from Florida in their right mind is going to go out. And you can look up and see the tree that's been hit by lightning a couple times.
In his own backyard.
In the yard he was working on, you know. So, I gotta say, probably could have been more well thought out.
Yeah. Did you get any of that hail last night at your place?
No, we barely got any rain. We finally got a drizzle late.
Oh my gosh. I left here 5:45, just on the nick of time. And was in at the house 2 minutes and it started to drizzle. But the clouds were rolling in quick. And probably 10 minutes after, I'm sitting out in the lanai, I'm like, well, let's watch this rain come through. And the wind started coming.
Oh, the wind was unbelievable.
10, 15 minutes into the rain coming sideways, we had gusts easily 40 to 45 miles an hour with sustained 30 for 10, 15 minutes. I mean, it was honking. And then all of a sudden, dink, 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 dink. Like, what is that? And she goes, I think that's hail. And I opened up the back door to the porch, because we were just sitting on the couch watching it, and I opened up the back porch. We sat there and stared at it, and it melted pretty quick, but there was stuff the size of my thumbnail coming down with pretty good regularity.
Huh.
I called up here and asked Jeff, said, you guys getting the hail? He's like, no, but Cindy just called me and told me it's hailing at the house right now, too. So, it was a good one.
Wow.
So, you know, definitely respect the afternoon thunderstorms. Pay attention to them. I think that's the best advice.
Yeah. I mean, it's always good advice to watch the storms.
And if you're at home, watch them too, because it's really, really cool when you're actually in the safety of your porch to sit there and just stare out and check out all that stuff. That spider lightning on the storm the night before was absolutely amazing. I dig that stuff.
Really?
Lightning's one of my most favorite things to watch. I really, really enjoy it. I really like watching the storm as it's approaching, with the way all the clouds tumble and build and all that stuff. Like that one you called me about several years ago, it looked like the beginning of Independence Day with the clouds rolling out from underneath each other. I mean, that was so awesome. That's the stuff I dig.
Yeah, what do they call it, a shelf cloud?
I don't even know if that was really a shelf cloud, because that was so bizarre that day.
Yeah, that was a massive front, big, yeah. Giant front end on it.
And all those cotton balls rolling up from underneath it. You're used to seeing them build on top of it and kind of roll off the top, but these were coming from underneath and getting pulled up into it. That was just ominous.
It was scary.
Yeah.
It really was. It was scary. Watching... I'm actually going to pause this for a second. What's really funny is, if you think back, did you watch anything when Trump got inaugurated?
No.
Did you watch that? I was watching that day. And they had him go to have a meeting with Obama. And they said, oh, let's take a half hour, 40 minutes or something, right? Mm-hmm. He was in there for several hours. It was a long time. And when... at the end of it, you know, they always have, you know, they interview him, okay, you know, how everything go. And Trump made some remarks like, oh my God, this is, you know, like, man, there's some weird stuff going on, right?
Right.
And Obama kind of gave him one of those looks like, you know, what are you doing? Shut up. You know, you can't tell people this stuff, you know? And it was just kind of one of those weird little moments. But the thing that's... do you remember a few years ago, we had a guy come in with a bait bucket, right? We're slammed. We got six people at the counter. Everything's, you know, just going on and on and on. I see some stuff in the bottom of the bait bucket. I grab it. I said, is this your stuff? Do you want this? It was, some paper, can, whatever, but I didn't know I was in a hurry. And he gets this kind of look on his face. And he goes, no, I throw it in the garbage. Well, it kind of stuck in my head for a while. And about a half an hour later, I go back to dig through the garbage, and it's a giant plastic bag full of marijuana. You know, a full-size sandwich bag. I mean, stuffed full of marijuana. And I'm like, okay, now I get, because there had to be 30 people in the store. I'm just holding it up going, is this yours? I mean, not paying a bit, clueless.
Right.
Not even thinking.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what it reminded me of, seeing Trump and Obama sitting there the day, you know, they had this change of office thing where, you know, Obama's leaving, Trump's taking over. And then all of a sudden now, he started Space Force. And you're seeing all these other UFO things. And now Trump's brought out Space Force. It's, you know, we have the Coast Guard, the Navy, the Marines, the Army, the Air Force. Well, now we are officially going to have the U.S. Space Force, like the Air Force.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's decreed we are going to have another branch of the military called Space Force.
Oh, jeez.
You know?
Okay.
So, I don't know.
There's something going on there that they
don't
know. I
gotta tell you, I literally think there's
like
something going on.
Like those giant tunnels and arcs are building in Montana and wherever else.
All I can tell you is, during one of the presidencies, and I won't mention him by name, I always thought, well, he's either knows something really bad is coming, and they're just throwing this money in at that and hiding it and saying, well, we just threw it away, or best case scenario was that he was just a crazy person who wanted to destroy the country, you know, put us so far in debt we couldn't recover, you know. So now you look at this and Trump has this weird look on his face, and then he invokes a order for to create Space Force, and I'm thinking to myself, something weird is going on,
right?
You know. So anyway, I just had to stop that. It wasn't worth stopping the end of the music for, but I do get those weird things.
I'll agree with that.
You know, it was a half hour later, I went and dug through the garbage to figure out why the look on his face, and that was a big bag of marijuana.
Right.
So anyway, I guess that's about it for today.
Yep.
Strange stories to end the fishing report with. But the good thing is the fishing's actually getting better. And according to all reports, the rest of the world's wrong and Robert and I are right.
Yeah.
Every fall, these redfish come back in amazing numbers. It's just that by the second time people go on Facebook and post that they didn't catch a redfish, it's obviously catastrophic again.
Attention span of a gnat.
Yeah. Oh, what did you say? I was posting on Facebook.
No, sorry.
Yeah, I already forgot what it was.
Yeah, don't worry. I put it on Instagram. We'll look at it later.
Okay. Bye, boys and girls.